Welcome back to another splendiferous episode of Legally Judgy. I'm Alexa.
That's not even a word, but I'm Nicole.
Okay, who says I can't invent words on our show?
Me.
Splendiferous?
I say that.
I think it's just because someone's not feeling very splendiferous today.
No. This has been a non-splendiferous week.
I can't wait to hear about that in your personal intro on our Patreon.
For patrons only.
Speaking of Patreon, that's what we want to remind you all of. So hopefully you're not skipping over this part to hear us talk about how awesome our Patreon is, because if you sign up, you'll have access to uncut episodes, community hub content, behind the scenes stuff, polls. We got everything for you. We also have some fun mini-sodes. Go check it out. We also need to shout out to our new patrons. We have Stacy H and Casey Z. Congratulations to you guys for joining us on the Patreons.
Welcome, y'all. We're excited to have you.
We cannot wait for this episode. I'm actually, this one's sadly a messy one.
Messy, juicy.
But before we talk about that, we need to talk about ourselves, because who doesn't want to talk about ourselves?
I mean, we love talking about ourselves.
And for anybody who wants to listen to us talking about ourselves, go sign up for our Patreon.
You have to be a patron. Patron? Patron. We always patron. Fuck this up. You have to be a patron first.
On the Patreon.
Yes.
Is what you have to
on
do.
On the Patreon.
Yep. Correct.
So today we are going to talk about Vanessa Bryant, the wife of the late Kobe Bryant, and some
R.I.P.
kind of messy legal issues she's having. Very unsettling.
It's never good when, we've talked about this before, family is fighting. Yeah. And it's certainly when it's a mother-daughter situation and it's in public. Yep. And you're in court. Okay. I mean, I will have to say this one, out of all the episodes that we've done, was shocking to me. Mm-hmm. With all the stuff we're about to get into, especially in the complaint that her mom files.
Yeah.
But before we get there, we got to start from the beginning.
Always.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about our girl, Vanessa?
Sure. So Vanessa Bryant was born Vanessa Lane before she married the Cobes. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling him that. That's what Alexa put in our notes.
The Cobes. That's a good one.
No. I just, Kobe is fine. He's like, Cobes? He's a fucking international legend. We don't need a nickname for him. It's like Oprah. You know,
Oaks?
Like,
you say Auntie Oaks.
I do say, that's because she's my auntie. So, you know.
What? It's you don't different. Know the woman.
You don't know that I don't know her.
Opes, Cobes, that kind of even rhymes.
Anyways.
Fine.
So Vanessa Bryant, she was born in 1982 in Orange County, California, which is south of LA and where Disneyland is, for people who are not from California, like myself.
That's what we're going to, that's what we always say.
I don't know how.
Marge is getting a kick out of that.
And
it was for Marge.
There's also the Real Housewives there, so you're welcome.
Yep.
If that helps you pick that out on a map.
Yep.
So at 17 years old, Vanessa was really living just like the normal teenager life, right? Okay. Like going to school, going to the mall, hanging out with her friends, etc. And so she was also performing as a background dancer in a music video for Snoop Dogg and the East Side's song G'd Up in 1999.
Oh, like we all do, huh?
Yeah.
Just living the normal teenage. Were you in backup dancer videos?
Oh, well.
You could have. Stop. I was going to say you could.
I was not in a music video, but I did tell you that I danced backup for Mariah Carey at the Thanksgiving Day football game 1 year. So.
You didn't tell me that.
Oh, sorry. I can still show you the dance.
You can still show me. Do you practice that every night?
In my mind. No, we just practiced so many times. I can't forget it.
Wait, how did this come about? Why did Mariah Carey ask you?
I was a cheerleader at that point in time. I think our cheer team was in like the top 10 in the state. And so we got invited to dance with her on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, wow. Did you interact? Did you see her?
Yeah. I interacted
backstage
with her.
Was she?
I interacted with Mike Vick. I was very in love with Michael Vick at the time.
This okay.
was pre-dog fighting.
Yeah.
Note.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was
not
doing
trying to
that.
Get canceled. Okay. She loves doggies.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever.
Was she nice?
She was great.
Oh, that's
I mean,
nice.
She was talking to like kids, right? You would hope that she would be.
I'm the star here. Shut up, you little weasel.
Yeah.
You're not stealing my limelight.
No.
Nothing like that.
It's very much so in the background.
Okay, we digress. So I guess this was no wonder you said this was normal. It's normal for
you. Normal teenage life, right?
This might shock you, but I did not dance backup for Mariah Carey ever.
So, okay, let's get back into this.
Okay,
so
fine.
She was dancing background in a music video with Snoop Dogg and his gang, and like this like gang of rappers that he was working with at the time. Cool. So also there is 20-year-old NBA star Kobe Bryant, who shows up at the time and was trying to basically get into music. And so he was working on his debut album around that same time.
Which I didn't know, by the way, prior to this. I don't know if I was just too young.
I did know that. We're big Kobe fans in my house, so I feel like I know Kobe's life.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm a Kobe sports fan, but I never get into the personal. So sorry. Fair. Go on.
So for anybody who's been living under a rock, Kobe Bryant is obviously going to go down, if not already has not already gone down in history as like one of the best basketball players of all time.
I feel like he made being a Lakers fan really exciting as a kid. Obviously, I'm like LA based, so all the LA teams are going to be my teams. Mm-hmm. So if the Lakers sucked growing up, that was still my team.
Yeah.
They didn't suck because we had Kobe. That's all I'll say.
They stopped sucking.
They stopped. They did.
So at this very point when the music video takes place, he's, you know, just 20 years old, sorry. And he was already like very famous, right? Because he was a Laker. So, you know, being in the NBA will help with your fame.
I mean, he got recruited like a senior in high school, right? So he was super young. The shit from a very young age.
Yeah. And so at that point, he was already setting basketball records and had just signed a 6-year contract extension with the Lakers for $70 million.
Oh, at 20 years old.
20 years old.
So we're a little shy of that in our own lives.
Very close.
Okay.
So, you know, this obviously doesn't include all of the money he's making from brand partnerships and endorsements, right? Like, he's got a 6-year contract with Adidas for $48 million and various other things because he was Kobe Bryant.
Okay. All right.
So, side note, obviously, it's really a nice thing that he stuck with basketball because his music career was quite terrible and it did not pan out very well. If you want to know just how bad it was, Tyra Banks sang the hook on his first single, so.
Yeah, it was called Kobe, I saw.
Also, like, I think we're canceling Tyra right now, so
yeah.
I should note that.
Which we didn't know back then, but I'm just saying that.
Now we know.
The fact that Tyra was on the hook, were they setting him up for failure almost is what I want to know.
I mean, I'm sure for him, right? Like, he was like, this is a world, like, top model. So maybe he was like, oh, she sounds decent. Like, this will bring...
She's attractive.
You know, like, some attention to the song. I don't know. Didn't she also sing in that life-size movie with Lindsay Lohan?
Yes, she tried.
Yeah.
So they all tried to be... like,
trying to do that thing for
herself. Triple threats. It didn't work out for any of them.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, music career gone. Luckily, he has basketball to fall back on, is what you're saying.
To fall back on, yes. So anyways, back to our meet cute. Kobe sees Vanessa and she's like clearly captivated by him because after 6 months of dating, they get engaged when she's just 18 years old and as a senior in high school.
That's crazy.
Fun fact, they actually announced their engagement at her 18th birthday party and she finished high school via independent study to avoid like all of the media scrutiny of getting engaged at 18.
Yeah, a little bit of a child bride. Mm-hmm. I mean, not legally, but that's pretty young.
Close.
You're in high school, right?
Close.
They get married in 2001, just shortly after her high school graduation in 2000. Got a couple more fun facts for y'all right here. Kobe declined to play in the 2000 Olympics because of their wedding. So that's sweet. Mm-hmm. I feel like that if my husband gave up playing
Olympics to her, he wanted to play in many Olympics. So
yeah, I mean, I'm just saying
it's like nothing.
But that's a cool thing to like stunt on, right? Like, oh, my husband to marry me, like did not participate in the Olympics. Yeah, like granted, it's basketball. Whatever, we know we're gonna win. But anyways, and then according to Vanessa's cousin, and I think this has been confirmed later on too, but at the time there was no prenup. Which is why I feel like we wanted to emphasize for the peoples how rich he was. Like, he was already Kobe when they met.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that many people knew. I don't even know what I knew before this. I didn't really think about it.
I think basketball fans knew who he was.
But when he met Vanessa and the fact that they had no prenup, I feel like is pretty shocking considering how much he was worth at the time.
Yeah, he probably should have had an accountant recommend a bit otherwise, but that's fine. It worked out.
Obviously, he loved her.
Yeah.
Like, good for you, Vanessa.
Each other.
So apparently, though, Kobe's parents didn't approve of this wedding and they didn't show up for the ceremony, along with his sisters, his agent, and even his Lakers teammates, which is pretty sad. It's been reported that his parents had several different reasons for not approving of their relationship, including them being too young, which we talked about, but also, unfortunately, the fact that she was not, in quotes, African-American. Mm-hmm. She's Latina. So I guess they were not.
Why are we quoting African-American?
Because I feel like that's such like an old school, the way to say like she's not black.
Yeah, fair.
You know, like African-American.
That was the term.
Is what the reports were like. She's not African-American. I just feel like I'm old when I say that. Okay. So that's why I put it in quotes.
Okay, that's fine.
Not saying like African-Americans don't exist. Is that what I gave off? My
no,
bad.
No, that's not what you gave off.
Okay, great. So they didn't actually, him and his parents didn't talk for 2 years until the birth of their first child, Natalia. And I feel like this is just, this happens, unfortunately, but there's nothing like grandkids to bring the whole family back together.
Yeah.
So after that, all is well, or well enough, they're talking. But Kobe and Vanessa would go on to have 4 daughters together, Natalia, Gianna, Bianca, and Capri. All sound like lovely vacation homes. And by the way,
they're supposed to be like Italian names. Cause I know he's half Italian.
It's sweet though. I'm just like, it literally all their names together. I was like, wow, I feel like vacation in Italy. Yeah. That's what
you're welcome.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Worth noting here that Vanessa did file for divorce in December 2011, right before the birth of their youngest two daughters. So essentially had two daughters, filed for divorce. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we all know they end up getting back together. But during this time, it seems like it came out of some pretty, like they were going through a lot of heavy stuff, pretty traumatic things, right? So we know about Kobe having those allegations of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's so much as allegations as truths, because he did admit that he recognized afterward that it may not have been consensual. So mm-hmm. very serious stuff. Obviously, the two, there had been rumors that he'd been cheating, which clearly this was evident.
Many allegations of him cheating.
Many. I don't even know. Are they allegations when you're like, yeah, dude, you did fuck up.
Maybe he admitted to him behind closed doors, but I don't think he ever like did publicly. Publicly,
correct. Right. And Vanessa around that time also had a miscarriage, which I did see Kobe kind of, I don't know if he acknowledged or someone close to him acknowledged that it was probably because of all the stress of the courtroom, yeah. Right? Because he was on trial for that. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, for them, she ends up calling off the divorce in January 2013. So about 2 years after she initially filed. So clearly they worked it out. And they ultimately stayed together and continued to grow their family. Like we said, you know, they had two other daughters together. Yep. And then sadly, January 2020, mm-hmm. you want me to?
Sure. Why not give me the sad
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I could do it. I could do it. I get so sad.
It's fine. So sadly, in January 2020, Kobe and his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, along with seven other people, die in a helicopter crash on the way to one of Gigi's basketball games. And so after the crash, Vanessa was unfortunately involved in several lawsuits, including one that she brought against the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department for negligence, emotional distress, and invasion of privacy due to their handling of the crash site. And that involved like taking pictures and leaking the news and a lot of things that they're actually still working through. And they're very much so like not settled claims.
Yeah, I think like eight officers that came out used their personal cell phones to take yeah. pictures of the crash site and the bodies.
Like, showing them in bars and things.
That's how they found out. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Not that obviously this episode isn't about this. Yeah. We're now talking about what we're about to talk about. Right. But yeah, the only reason why this came to light was, like you said, a woman overheard them talking about the pictures they had in their horrible. Phones and reported it.
It's disgusting. I literally have like goosebumps right now, right? Because I'm like, not only were there like a number of adults, but there were a number of children on that helicopter, yes. all who lost their lives. And so like,
yes.
to try to glamorize or use any of that to get like clout or attention is like, it's just absolutely beyond me.
It's disgusting. I mean, and obviously Vanessa's fear was that getting into a tabloid,
yeah.
that getting circulated, mm-hmm. and then her daughters having to see that, and her.
For sure. For
sure. Wants to see that. Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Anyways, not what we're here to talk about today.
No. So to Alexa's point, this episode is not about the lawsuit with the LA, you know, Sheriff's Department or anything really around the crash, but it's, you know, worth noting that she's alleging, to your point, that, you know, these people took these pictures. And so she naturally wants to get justice for mm-hmm. her family and for herself, etc. Mm-hmm. But so coming back to the focus of today's episode, one of the other lawsuits that Vanessa found herself in was also not her choice. Vanessa's mom, Sophia Lane, sadly ends up suing Vanessa, mm-hmm. less than a year after Kobe and Gigi pass away, basically, you know, saying that she's owed money as a result of this stuff we're really about to get fucking into. Traumatic situation.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. But before we get into the lawsuit, this is Legally Judgy. I feel like we need to paint the picture for our judges, mm-hmm. and talk about what we do know about Sophia Lane, Vanessa Bryant's mom.
Yeah.
So we know that besides being a mom to Vanessa, she's also a mom to Vanessa's older sister. She's like 10 years older, I think. And that she really did live a relatively normal life before Vanessa met Kobe. She had divorced Vanessa's dad when Vanessa was just a baby and largely raised her and her sister as a single mom and worked various jobs. I think at one point too, she lived with her sister, mm-hmm. even, you know, so obviously money didn't come too easily. She's mm-hmm. working jobs. She's mm-hmm. raising girls together. Sophia ends up marrying her second husband, Stephen Lane, in 1990, and they were together for about 12 years until they divorced in 2002. And look, I'm not trying to plant too many seeds here, but worth noting that 4 days after Vanessa and Kobe announced their engagement, the Lanes filed for bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. Just something I need to note here.
Interesting.
And apparently Sophia was laid off 2 years prior to that and had a back injury that prevented her from finding a new job. Mm-hmm. So money, again, I think just these are facts, did not come easily. She was not well off, not very rich.
Nope.
And it's been reported that, for what it's worth, Kobe's family was not fond of Sophia either, even after they had accepted, you know, his marriage to Vanessa. They were reportedly concerned about her history, given, you know, these couple marriages and divorces. And it, I think it may have come off to them that she was maybe seeking money, mm-hmm. And a little worried about her intentions. But, you know, we don't really know this for sure. Right. This is all tabloid stuff. This is just what we've read. We do not know if this is true. And if she really was just trying to find love and divorced, I mean, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I mean, I guess the other part too is they were already feeling like not too thrilled that Kobe married a Latina. Mm-hmm. And maybe that could have been part of it. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep.
It seems that though Kobe and Vanessa were close to her prior to his death. You know, she's seen in a lot of family pictures at the home and at games. There's a lot of her with the kids for Thanksgiving even. I mean, they posted a lot with her.
Yeah.
And it was also on record that they let Sophia stay at a few of their homes and travel with them until Kobe passed away, essentially.
Yep.
And then once Kobe and Gigi pass, this is where things get a little murky. Initially, there's a lot of reports that Sophia had stepped in to support, you know, Vanessa and her daughters, and that she had even moved in with Sophia to help them out, you know, just emotionally and with just things, mm-hmm. it seems. And then things start to change. You want to tell us how, my friend?
So in September 2020, and a reminder, this is, you know, what, 9 months after Kobe mm-hmm. and Gigi passed, because that was January 2020. Just 8 months after Kobe and Gigi pass, Sophia does a TV interview with Univision where she tearfully claimed that Vanessa kicked Sophia out of the family home and asked her to return one of her and Kobe's cars that they were letting Sophia use. And in response, Vanessa sends a statement to the network saying, in quotes, "My husband and daughter passed away unexpectedly, and yet my mother had the audacity to do a television interview speaking negatively of me while shedding tears for a car and a house that were not in her name. She has removed all of her diamond jewelry, emptied the apartment I provided, and put away the furniture to make it look like she does not have my support. My husband and I have supported her financially for the past 20 years and continue to do so in addition to her monthly alimony." She also goes on to say that, in quotes, "contrary to previous reports, her mom had not been physically present or emotionally supportive of her daughters or Vanessa after Kobe and Gigi's death."
That's a lot.
So
bad. Not good.
Not great, right? If it goes from she lives at the house supporting them after Kobe and Gigi's passing to like now doing this interview on TV and Vanessa having to speak out, like that's the primer for what we're about to get into.
Right, right.
Things are not looking so good.
And couple months later, December 2020, so what, 2 months after she does this Univision interview, mm-hmm. and still less than a year after Kobe and Gigi pass away, Sophia files a lawsuit against Vanessa in California, which we have to note included 32 different legal claims, all pretty much getting at the same thing. Sophia wants money.
Mm-hmm.
For different reasons that we'll get into. And before we get into the actual legal claims, want to say that there's what we've talked about before in previous episodes, a lot of times litigants, so people suing, are going to use the same facts or similar facts to support different types of claims.
Yep.
Because again, you don't know what's going to be successful in court. So they could use the same fact to support maybe five different claims, mm-hmm. whatever it is. So for our purposes, judges, just keep in mind, we want to talk about some of the facts that she's talking about, and then we'll mention some legal claims.
Only some of the 32. There's not all 32.
This would be like a 3 hour long episode yeah. if we got into all of them. But one of the things she talks about, she says that prior to Kobe's death, he had promised to take care of her financially for the rest of her life in exchange for her being a nanny and a caretaker. According to her reps, she believed this so much that she bought orthopedic furniture for $25,000, which she said she charged to her credit card shortly before he died, with the expectation that he was going to cover it. Because again, you know, he said he would take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
Just for me, I'm like, how many nannies and caretakers get
$25,000 mattresses? None.
It has also nothing to do with her being a nanny or a caretaker.
No. Girl, like, get your own bed.
If it was for in the services of taking care of kids, mm-hmm. I could see that. But like, you need an explicit, like, yes, I will reimburse you for
right.
this cost.
Right.
Anybody who works for a company and you have to get reimbursed, you usually are showing receipts.
You submit receipts.
And it's in, usually you had to have been doing something for the business while you did it.
Yes.
I can't just be like, hey, I just dropped 10,000 at Louis Vuitton. So
I went
to
Miami last weekend. So can you just reimburse me things?
Exactly. Another one in the filings, she alleges that she worked 12-hour days for about 18 years as a personal assistant and a nanny. So we see this nanny thing come back for the family, but was never paid. And now she wants back pay. She claims that they agree that her rate would be $96 an hour.
Steep.
$96 an hour.
Let me tell you, as somebody who went to school for education and got two majors in education, when I was nannying, I was not making $96 an hour.
That wasn't the going rate?
That was not the rate.
I was going to say, I need to quit my job and become a nanny.
That was not it.
Because $96 an hour sounds pretty nice.
I was not getting that much.
She says that she wasn't given legally required meal breaks and rest periods during said 12-hour days, and that she just was forced to work basically all the way through. Not only on these 12-hour days, but she was forced to work holidays and weekends. And she even said that she did this, prevented her from seeking other job opportunities. Mm-hmm. And one of my personal favorites, because there's going to be a couple keys for me. She said that her being their nanny was what allowed them to have more children. In quotes, allowed them to have more children.
I think somebody who is making $70 million with the Lakers at 20 and 48 with Adidas at 20 could probably afford a real nanny.
Correct, girl.
If they really wanted one.
I saw a report that said at the time of Kobe's passing, his estate was estimated to be valued at least $600 million.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain they could have handled hiring a real nanny to have more children if that was what was necessary.
And by the way, when we see these reports of what people are estimated, usually it's kind of probably going to be lower.
It's always lower. I mean, his empire is like fucking ridiculous.
Huge. So in conclusion, I don't think the only reason why they had four daughters was because of this woman's nanny services.
Don't think
so. I think they probably could have afforded it otherwise. But
maybe. Would have been tight though.
Yeah.
So she also alleges that Kobe bought her a house for $2.65 million in exchange for her years of work for the family, even though the house was not in her name. But also, if that's true, then like, would she really need $96 an hour?
That's what I was thinking, girl. I'm so glad you said that because I'm like, wait, were you not paid or were you paid? Yeah. Because I think a $2.65 million house
probably covers your $96 an hour.
I feel like you're pretty tight, huh?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a pretty good exchange of, I just, you can't argue
with both
ways. And
they probably like furnished it too. So it wasn't just like, right, the cost
an empty
of the
house. You know, but by the way, if someone wanted to buy me a $2.65 million house,
I
will figure out my own furniture. I will sit on the ground until
I go to IKEA and build all my shit by hand.
Until I get my IKEA furniture. Exactly. I would be there with the screwdriver, girl. I'll help you.
So she says that the house was in the name of the Bryant's trust, like all of their other assets, and that she was told that they did this to protect her and obviously like their own assets too because they're fucking smart. But like, yeah, that sounds fishy. Okay. So the house was later sold for around $3.2 million, and she claims that the Bryants used the proceeds to buy her a new house that was worth around $1.7 million on a street called Shady Lane, which the lawyer says was fitting because of the way that they treated Sophia. I feel like...
petty as fuck. By the way, when you say that, it's in the complaint.
It's literally in the
filing. We want to emphasize to our judges, this is in the complaint that was filed
with the court. They filed a lawsuit. Her lawyer filed a lawsuit.
In the court of law.
And had the audacity to say...
correct.
That it was only fitting that her house was on Shady Lane because her daughter was shady to her.
Literally in parentheses.
I'm gonna need you to grow up, my guy.
Literally a petty comment, which is great on a podcast, not so great in
a
court filing.
Not in a court filing.
I can't really take him seriously.
Ridiculous. But
sorry, go on.
It's okay. So Sophia claims that she was owed the difference in the amount of about $1.5 million from the sale of the original house that I said was like it was.
So you're saying the $3.2 million house that they sold and purchased a cheaper house.
Yep.
Because there was a windfall.
Yep.
That she should have
that
received
that. She should take the windfall.
Oh, okay.
Since they bought the original house, you know. That naturally.
Because it was her house,
naturally,
right?
They would give her the profits from the house that they bought.
Nicole, she said it was her house. But it just happened to be in their name. But it was really her house.
Yeah.
They did it for her benefit.
Yeah.
Hello.
So she says that this like windfall of $1.5 million from the sale is owed to her. And that Kobe may have allegedly pushed Vanessa to actually give this to Sophia. I have questions about that.
I feel like she's pushing it because Kobe's no longer here, right? He wants to be like, he said this.
Who can dispute what he may have pushed her or said to do, right?
Right, right.
It makes it very murky.
Right.
And so Sophia also goes on to claim that Vanessa told her to move out of the Shady Lane house and sell all of her belongings after Kobe and Gigi passed so that Sophia could move into the Bryant's main house and help them support, you know, help her support like the other three daughters. But then she claims that Vanessa rerouted her to another apartment that was leased in Sophia's name, but under forgery, and that May have said that she was making $200,000 a year in the lease agreement. It's just all very messy. And another very, very petty, petty thing that the lawyer did was that he noted in the filing that the alleged movers that Vanessa hired to move Sophia out of the Shady Lane house were all unmasked because this was during COVID. So I'm not really sure what them wearing masks has to do with the claims that are on the table here, but...
So he's just... They're really just setting Vanessa up to be this irresponsible, inconsiderate daughter who is basically just leaving her mother out to dry is what this seems like, right? You promised me a house. You told me to get out of this house to move in with you. And then you say, never mind, you're not moving in here. You're going to stay in this apartment.
Yep.
Boo-hoo to you.
Yep. That's okay. Right.
All right. Have another few highlights. Like Please. We said, there's a lot. This whole filing is 48 pages. A
lot of pettiness.
It's
here.
Online if anybody wants some light reading before bed. But a couple other things that Sophia claims. She says that Vanessa claimed to take her car to, by her car, I mean, Vanessa claimed to take her mom's car to the mechanic, but instead sold it, forcing Sophia, her mother, to walk everywhere for months. They even mentioned a time where she had to go get groceries and they were really, really heavy. In quotes, really heavy. She also said that Vanessa didn't pay for her cable, leaving her alone in an empty apartment. So now she's stuck in an apartment where she has no furniture because she sold all of her things from Shady Lane to move into this apartment. And there's no cable in the apartment. Yep. So what are you going to leave me? You know, how dare you?
What do I do?
She also says that Vanessa cut her off from her health insurance, knowing that she couldn't afford the $300 a month payment for said health insurance. Okay. Fun fact, in the complaint, just randomly, this is a sentence in the complaint, she says Vanessa was envious of Sophia's relationship with Kobe.
Can you imagine saying that about your deceased son-in-law?
I do not understand.
And about your daughter, the child that you birthed and brought into this world.
Correct. I do not understand why this sentence is in there. I think the idea is, I'm going to go out on a limb and try to understand what this lawyer is thinking. They are trying to paint a picture in which Vanessa hates her mother, wants to renege on all the things that Kobe promised, and is now saying Vanessa has it out for the mom and is unfair. And essentially, now that Kobe's gone, Vanessa is just basically rescinding all of the promises.
Promises, yeah.
Which legally is not a contractual obligation, but we'll get into that. And just trying to paint her in this villainous way.
Yep.
Okay. She goes on to claim in this complaint that the reason she thinks all of this is happening, the reason why Vanessa is behaving this way, is because Vanessa got mad that Sophia, her mom, recommended that she stop attending so many social events after Kobe and Gigi passed away. And instead, she suggested to Vanessa that she just stay home and mourn Kobe and Gigi.
Also disgusting. Girl, Vanessa, run. Run. This Find yourself a therapist and run.
In the complaint, people. In the complaint for the reason why Vanessa is allegedly doing all these things.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just talked about all the facts.
All the claims, yes.
The facts.
Not facts.
Well,
right, because you don't know her facts. They're her Excuse alleged me. Facts.
And when I say facts here, I mean legally, in a complaint, you're going to have a facts section.
Yep.
Those facts may not actually be facts.
But maybe complete bullshit.
There's a facts section in a complaint. Yep. So this is going to be the things that they're going to point to later on.
Yep.
The next section is the legal claims. Okay, I set you up with all the facts. Now let's talk about specific legal claims and talk about how the facts that I just mentioned fit into these legal claims.
Yep.
You're right, though, girl. These are not facts.
And quick refresher on the, in air quotes, facts.
Yeah.
She's basically saying she had a house. They bought her house. They sold it. She was due the profits from that house. She got kicked out of another house. They took her car. She was due the car, owed the car. That, you know, she made
$96 an hour.
$96 an hour as a nanny and is owed back pay for that.
And a personal
she
assistant.
Don't forget. Holidays and weekends, et cetera. So basically she's just saying, like, here are all the things that I was promised that I now do not have and need.
Correct.
To continue my life.
Correct.
So the legal claims.
We needed a summary right there. Good one.
So the legal claims.
Yep.
Like we said, there were a ton. And so we're picking the most interesting claims, both interesting from what we think legally, like that legal perspective. And also because, like, as a reminder, this is a mom suing her daughter at her, like, literal lowest moment in life.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So the first one, breach of contract, with a contract being a supposed oral agreement with Kobe and Vanessa, and on the other hand, Sophia, to financially take care of Sophia in exchange for her nanny and caretaker services, as well as a promise to reimburse her for her orthopedic bed.
Don't forget the bed, that part, right? $25,000 bed.
Have to shout out the bed.
Don't forget.
So as we've discussed before, a breach of contract is when one party to an agreement fails to meet their obligations or the terms of said agreement. So I think it's worth noting here that oral contracts, which is what Sophia is saying she had with Kobe and Vanessa, can be enforced so long as certain basic elements of a contract are present. And some of those, like elements, which we won't get into because they're very legally, are like an offer, acceptance, exchange of consideration, which basically means we each get something out of this, and meeting of the minds. Like, we agree to what's happening here.
Can I pause real quick? It's not even what we've discussed, but I want to point out for people that a pure promise, my promise, Nicole, that I will buy you a $25,000 orthopedic bed. If I just said that to you and I never, hey, this is serious, okay? Your back hurts.
Okay, sorry.
if I never went through and bought you that, you couldn't sue me because I didn't fulfill my promise. Mm-hmm. So the things that you just mentioned, offer, acceptance, exchange of consideration, and meeting of the minds, those, yes, are legal elements that constitute a contract to be differentiated from a promise. Yep. And that's really important, because if it was just a promise, I promise, yeah, how many times do we say, I'll buy you that drink? Imagine every time you could sue somebody just for saying that.
Yeah.
You need some sort of, what I feel like I really think about is consideration. You need exchange, right?
A little quid pro quo.
I'll give you something and in return, you give me something.
Yep.
That's an easy way to break down. That's a contract. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between a contract and a promise. Mm-hmm. And here she's saying, okay, this is not just a contract.
Though I would like to argue that I give you my friendship. So friendship I need to buy you now. Exchange for a drink feels the bare minimum that you could do.
Look, a drink, sure. A $25,000 orthopedic bed, nah.
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
Go on.
So generally speaking, of course, written contracts are often easier to prove, like that they've been breached because they're in writing, right? But oral contracts can also be breached through this. They're just like more difficult to prove, especially, you know, in a court of law when it's a lot of he said, she said, et cetera, like we've already seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in California, which is where Sophia brought the lawsuit, contracts can be oral with a few exceptions, like if they're in violation of state laws or if it's about debt, if it's a lease or if it's with real estate agents, like very specific things where, you know, the state has just determined that this basically needs to be in writing for us to uphold it.
Right.
You know, because of the risk that it basically caused to people.
Stakes are bigger.
When it comes to, like, debt and leases, right? Yeah. And so, again, like, even in California, oral contracts are more difficult to litigate, and people will often bring in eyewitnesses who can enforce that an oral contract was ever made. However, these people are often, you know, understandably not like the most neutral parties, because they're likely more aligned with one party than the other. And so there's probably going to be questions of like credibility and bias that come up in trying to prove whether this oral contract actually existed.
Correct. Evidence. Issue is evidence.
Yes. So all that to say, the first claim is breach of contract. And she's saying there was a breach of the oral contract when they did not pay her and give her all of the things that allegedly Kobe and Vanessa had agreed to give her.
In exchange for all her nanny and personal assistant.
Because we need the quid pro quo.
You need the exchange,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Another claim, not surprising, unpaid wages and other employment claims we don't need to get into, but it alludes to, go listen to our Lisa Vanderpump episode. Reminds me of that one with like the unpaid wages and breaks and all that in California. Go listen there. But here, kind of what we've already talked about, she's claiming that she worked for 18 years, 12-hour days, didn't get meal and rest breaks, didn't get paid the $96 an hour. She's saying that apparently they all agreed to. I think she also brought up the fact that on that lease that she said that Vanessa forged, the $200,000 salary that she allegedly earned, she said, actually, that is right. That's the $96 an hour that you should have paid me that you never did. So she's trying to use
that one here.
Curious
if that math breaks down, actually.
I tried to do the math at some point. I think it's just under $200, but then, and then you, if you multiply that by 18 years, it comes out to about $5 million. Which is something that you see later on.
Back to that. Yeah.
So again, this also, her claims include overtime, right? She's saying 12 hours. She didn't get breaks. And we know in California, if you work a certain amount of hours without a break, then you should get paid for that break. Again, go to our Lisa Vanderpump episode for more details there. But other things, they didn't provide accurate wage statements and failed to pay her the minimum wage because they didn't pay her anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just $0.
Just the house that she got to live in for free.
Just the multi-million dollar house. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the next claim, or one of the other claims, not necessarily the next, is promissory estoppel. And so this is a legal principle that allows someone to recover damages on the basis of a promise when the reliance on the promise was reasonable. And so Sophia is essentially saying here that she relied on certain promises by Kobe and Vanessa to receive money from the sales of her first home, you know, and which some of it went into the second home that they bought for her. And this includes promises to, like, reimburse her for the ortho bed, and Vanessa's promise to have the car maintenance done when she allegedly took it away, you know, permanently. So essentially, Sophia is basically saying that she relied on certain promises in a reasonable way that would then allow her to recover damages for those promises not being fulfilled.
Yeah, an example of this going to shit would be if I promised you, Nicole, to buy you a $5 million home. You know,
I know that you're not buying me a $5 million home, so I'm not relying on that shit. Not at all
near worth that amount of money myself. No. So there's no way. If I haven't bought myself a $5 million home, I'm certainly not buying you one. I love you, but no, me fair. First.
Yeah.
So it would be unreasonable if you then quit your job tomorrow and was like, hey husband, Alexa's buying us a $5 million home, don't even worry about it, quit my job.
Yeah.
Right? And then it turns out I go, just kidding, Nicole, I'm not gonna buy you that home, and yeah, you sue me, we go to court, and the court's gonna be like, Nicole,
you're a fucking idiot,
Alexa's broke as fuck, there's no way she could have afforded you a $5 million home.
Yeah.
That is not reasonable.
Yep.
Versus here, right, the Bryants were very rich, so she's trying to say it was reasonable for me to think that they would, well, she's arguing that. I know you're rolling your eyes, but she's trying to make the argument, right?
I actually don't disagree with that one.
Yeah, that's actually a smarter, this is actually a better argument, right?
She's like, rely on that.
But again, we need the proof, right? We need, the problem is the oral nature of everything. She's saying everything he just said. Well, you got to prove he said it. Okay, another one, we haven't talked about this one. Financial elder abuse here is another claim that she has. Basically, when someone takes or appropriates or retains the real or personal property of an elder for wrongful use or the intent to defraud. Here she cites the sale of the first home, right? We're talking about that very expensive home. Then the second house that she didn't get to keep and was essentially kicked out of. The car repairs, right? She didn't get the difference between the two homes. All of that. She's saying, I think she said she was 70. She's 68, 70 years old. She's older, but she's basically same facts, right? We're seeing the car, the house. How many times have we mentioned that? Four different claims.
Yeah.
All right. As a result of all these claims, Sophia is asking for various damages and compensation. Another thing we've talked about on our episodes is when you sue, you have to be suing for damages, money, something. Not always. You can get an injunction asking the court to do or stop something from happening, but here she wants money. Notably, $5 million in back pay calculated based on that 96 an hour for 12-hour days over 18 years.
Casual amount of money, just $5 million.
Along with the fact that, like you said, the difference between the sale homes, right? There's other little things, the $25,000 orthopedic mattress, like all these other little things. But she basically wants money in all these different ways. And I feel like this is your thing, and I was proud of you for finding a, I would call, a fun legal fact. So why don't you...
You're a dork.
Why don't you get into that, girl?
So there's some interesting legal background here. I think it's common for courts to see claims from grandparents, actually, and other family members stating that they should receive a wage for child care within the family. And so this actually became a big conversation back in the 1970s when a group of women launched a campaign basically arguing that women should be paid regular wages for doing household duties and taking care of children. But modern day, and practically speaking, in most places, there aren't laws that mandate that family members are paid for childcare. So basically, similar to the case that we have here with Sophia and Vanessa, it really ultimately is always going to come down to whether there's a contract in place that would, you know, kind of give rise to you actually being paid for taking care of children. But I just thought it was kind of, I think it's interesting, like when you think about the history of these things, that these claims have been around for so long.
Right.
And so she's basically trying to say, like, there was a contract here. I'm not just asking for this money. Like, we agreed that I would be paid for this.
Right. It's just crazy to me. 18 years later, if this was true, I mean, I guess she's feeling cut off financially. So here she comes.
She's just desperate.
But to your point, I do remember when this has been one of the more interesting topics from law school that I remember reading about, and it, like, the 1950s housewives, like that lifestyle you think in the U.S. where women typically stood home, men went to work, and then women, if they ever divorce, kind of being screwed because they've been housewives, right, working in the home, and they're like, well, I have no money to show for it.
Yeah.
But that's why, you know, we now have different divorce laws and community property and all that, so that we could try to make it as fair as possible if and when a couple does divorce.
Yeah.
Anyways, after Sophia files the lawsuit, she's able to take the time out of her very busy schedule to speak to TMZ about her issues with her daughter. Notably, and I added this quote because I just want to give everybody... this is very important for me. These are her words. She says, in quotes, "For starters, I would like to state that I do not enjoy airing out our family grievances in the public."
Girl, bye.
"Although I filed..." I know. Univision?
As you air your family Univision? Grievances in public. But okay, go.
Yep. Univision? Okay. "Although I filed a lawsuit, I did not make any public comments and was hoping for the court process to run its course without the publicity, as hurtful as it is. All I wanted is what I worked for. Vanessa, despite everything that I have been promised and done for her and the family, has attempted to sever all ties and renege on all obligations and agreements. Why would she do this to her own mother? I am so disappointed, hurt, and wronged to the point that I had no choice but to file a lawsuit. I am nearly 70 years old. My health is deteriorating, and my own daughter is doing this to me."
Ay, Dios mío.
End quote. So I don't know what happened to cause all this, but I think that just looking at the fact that she did this Univision report, interview, and then looking at this quote, I can't help but think, yeah, I'm not siding with you. Because how could you say you didn't want this to be in the public when you yourself did an interview?
Well, very unsurprisingly, Vanessa did not side with her, and she basically posts a response on social media to start with, and she says, in quotes, "My mother is continuing to try and find ways to extort a financial windfall from our family. I have supported her for nearly 20 years, and she was never my or Kobe's personal assistant, nor was she a nanny. This lawsuit is frivolous, disgraceful, and unimaginably hurtful. My husband never promised my mother anything, and he would be so disappointed in her behavior and lack of empathy." Vanessa also goes on to share that, you know, she and Kobe arranged for her mother to live at nearby properties without paying anything because she didn't have money to buy her own home after her own divorces. So, you know, in other words, she was not living with them, and that Sophia watched the kids from time to time when the girls, the first two girls, I should say, Natalia and Gigi, were toddlers like grandparents do, but that Vanessa and Kobe were actually full-time caregivers for their kids. So essentially, basically saying she was not a nanny and she was not owed any wages.
Vanessa was a stay-at-home mom.
She was 20 years old.
Yeah. She didn't have a career. She was staying at home
with her millions and taking care of her beautiful Italian named children. So exactly. Vanessa even claims that she actually offered to provide her mom with monthly support after Kobe died, and that the week prior to her Univision interview, she was even looking for a new home for Sophia, but that Sophia was demanding more, i.e. this $5 million, a different house, and a Mercedes SUV, while also receiving monthly alimony from her ex-husband, which we're about to get into.
This I'm excited
for. I feel like you want to talk about
this. I'm so excited about
this. You like petty shit. Go ahead.
I do, and I just love smoking gun evidence.
I mean, it's really good. It's
you're
really
a liar.
Good. I feel like, Vanessa, props to you and your attorneys, because we both read this and we were like, boom, got him.
I was like, dang.
Yeah, but tell everybody what happened.
March 2021, Vanessa files a motion to dismiss, which just basically means she's filing with the court saying, please just dismiss this
lawsuit.
Throw
this shit out.
Yeah, I do not want to litigate. I don't want to go to trial. This is so ridiculous. And I have evidence to show it's so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We should not have to go to court. Mm-hmm. She says, in quotes, the suit was factually, legally, and morally deficient, which I love when they say
pettiness.
Morally deficient.
Yeah. That's petty.
They do that a lot.
Yeah.
They do that a lot of lawsuits. I just feel like, ooh, that burns. And she's able to use Sophia's testimony from her own divorce proceedings from Mr. Stephen Lane against her. Because remember, people, Sophia went through a divorce with Mr. Stephen Lane in 2002. Mm-hmm. And in 2004, our good friend Stephen was trying to reduce his spousal support payments and said that it was because Sophia was living in a multi-million dollar home and being supported by the Bryants. However, Sophia denied those claims on record in court documents and repeatedly said she was not promised or receiving any support from the Bryants. She says they never bought her a house. She says she never relied on Vanessa or her other daughter, right? Because remember, she has, you know, two daughters, Vanessa and her sister, for support, and went on to say, in quotes, they each have their own lives, children, and responsibilities. Mm-mm. End quote.
Uh-oh.
Ultimately, Sophia won that divorce proceeding, right? That reopening of spousal support and was awarded that spousal support that she wanted. We don't know how much it was, mm-hmm. but whatever she wanted, she won.
Yep.
Then in 2008, 4 years later, Stephen again tried to reopen the case and modify his payments. This poor Stephen guy, he's like, bish, I know you're living in the Bryant's home.
I know you're driving a Mercedes.
Yeah, stop that. Sophia again denies receiving any support from the Bryants, saying in quotes, I do not live with Kobe and Vanessa now, nor do I permanently reside in a home owned by Vanessa and Kobe, as Stephen contends. And she wins again in court. Mm-hmm. They refuse to modify his spousal support statements. Yep. Not only this, people, but this means she's basically has monthly payments coming in.
Yeah.
Even though she's not working, but she's getting alimony mm-hmm. from her ex-husband. So all that to say, Vanessa and her lawyers use this as evidence against her mom to prove that Kobe and Vanessa didn't promise her anything and that they weren't financially supporting her. They also say that even if Kobe ever promised to support her, the statement is just too vague and it makes it unenforceable. Talking about what we said about like a general promise doesn't mean you have to actually fulfill that promise. Mm-hmm. I will say just a quick tidbit. It doesn't mean that like these court proceedings, it doesn't mean that they was necessarily true, right? She's saying they didn't support me. She probably was fibbing a bit, right?
Yeah.
But it's on record. And as a lawyer, when you're litigating this case, mm-hmm. you get to use it. Mm-hmm. It's facts in real life versus facts in a court proceeding. Mm-hmm. Different, right? What you talked about. So finally, her lawyers say, her being Vanessa, that all of Sophia's claims are baseless because she didn't file a creditor's claim within 1 year of Kobe's death, as would be required mm-hmm. in the state of California. Yep. This is one of those technicalities that basically says you have X amount of time to file certain types of claim based on the type of claim that you have. Yep. So here she basically is past the point where she can try to recover monies.
Yeah.
So where do things stand now?
So in August of this last year, 2021, Vanessa settles the lawsuit with her mother. And so basically as such, the lawsuit has been dismissed. And of course, like the settlement terms haven't been released. We've talked about settlements in so many of our mm-hmm. episodes, right? It's basically when the two parties meet behind the scenes, for lack of better terms, and agree upon how they're basically going to, you know, make this go away. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you X amount of money. You're going to drop these claims against me. We're going to move on. I would bet that they're probably not going to talk for a while.
Right.
That might be right. one of the terms of said settlement.
Right.
But we have no idea what happened. But I think, like, it's unfortunate, right? I think the practical piece of this all is that it's a mom and a daughter. Mm-hmm. And that Vanessa had just lost her husband and one of her daughters. Mm-hmm. And so to have to go through this entire situation with her own mom over alleged promises that Kobe made, especially in light of the fact that Vanessa was also still trying to support the mom, mm-hmm. maybe just not for $5 million and a yep. Mercedes.
Right.
It's sad, right? I'm glad that they settled it. I think at least they can close this chapter, and it seems like the family's moving on now. Mm-hmm. You know, little beautiful Natalia is now at USC, mm-hmm. and she's mm-hmm. modeling for Teen Vogue, and she's, like, living her best life. But yeah. I think the implications of this are probably that, like, grandma's not going to be so close to the family anymore.
Yeah, how do you build trust? This is, like, what we talk about, the morality of things, right? Yeah. This is just pettiness aside, it's just sad. It's a very, very sad case. It's sad.
It's all around sad.
That it got aired out. It's yeah. sad that it came to this. It is hard personally. I mean, I'm sure all judges know that I am biased here. I am siding with Vanessa. It's hard not to.
We are very team Vanessa yeah, over here.
It's very hard not to, given everything we just told you guys, right, about what I've seen. But it's still sad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel very bad for them. Yeah. And I guess this bleeds into our unsolicited advice. So what would you say here? What do you got for
I would
judges?
Say Sophia, like, stop being such a fucking shitty mom. Like, that's really it, you know? Like, Vanessa's trying to take care of her other three daughters mm-hmm. as she's grieving. Like, you couldn't maybe A, table this discussion until a later date, maybe not within the first year of all this happening, but mm-hmm. B, like, it seemed like they were trying to, like, support you, even if not giving you a fucking cash payout. So, like, right. maybe be, like, a less greedy bitch.
Right. I actually just thought of this now, too, and I wonder, I don't know, obviously, but if I'm Vanessa, I wonder if she's like, okay, maybe we cut down on expenses. Like, Kobe's gone now. He was the main breadwinner. Not saying that he didn't leave her enough. It, mm-hmm. Clearly, yeah. But I would just think maybe she's kind of like, let's just hold a beat on everything. Yeah. Like, let's just slow things down. Yeah. She has to rethink the rest of her life, mm-hmm. essentially, and plan for the fact that she still has three daughters that I'm sure she wants to make sure are taken care of for the rest of their lives.
For sure.
So yeah, maybe buying a almost $4 million home back in the day when Kobe was around didn't feel to
so big.
Yeah, but now he's gone. Our resources, I'm sure she's still going to be able to profit. His empire is still what it is. It's still going to make money, right? She's still doing collabs with Nike and all that in his name, but she's not Kobe. Not
the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Kobe's not here. So, and at that time too, you don't know how things are going to shake out.
Yeah.
You don't know that these advertisers are still interested in using his name, mm-hmm. right? To sell things. Mm-hmm. So that could have been part of it too. But anyway, I mean, that ended up being my unsolicited advice was going to be people avoid oral contracts. Make sure you write it down. That's my advice. Oral contracts, although can be legally binding, like it means technically that they can be, it's just so hard to prove evidence-wise. Get it in writing because it may be true. The oral contract may be the way that you said it, but it doesn't matter if you don't have the evidence to support it in a court of law. Yeah. So cover off, be safe, get it written down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moral of the story, RIP Kobe. RIP Gigi, and
yes.
RIP the seven others, mm-hmm. and we are very team Vanessa and the Bryant girls.
Yes, we hope that they find healing somehow.
Yeah.
All right, next segment, we got a Q&A.
Yes.
We got to do our Q&A. We were asked, have you guys ever argued doing the podcast together?
Yes. I think that was an easy Q&A.
That's all. Yes, we have. Period. No comment.
No, I do not think we're actually pretty good. I definitely think that, like, no, we've never fought. That's not necessarily like, well, that is my personality. I like to fight. Not with people that I love and care about, though. So we have not, do not take that in a weird way.
Love and care
don't
about
take
me?
That in a weird way.
In a weird way, like I'm just acknowledging the fact that you just said you love and
weird.
Care about
that's
me.
That's weird. We okay. have never fought. We don't always see eye to eye, right? Like we're two different people.
Creative
we're twins. We're twins for the most part, but sometimes we see things a little bit differently. But I definitely think that we...
Different styles. I think in the end, we have the same conclusions, but the way that we get there is a little bit different.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Like, I would say out of the two of us, you're very much more like, what is the quickest way to get there? I will
very
do that
impatient.
Yesterday. Yeah. And I'm going to be like, I do want to get it done, Nick, but I also kind of want to have a drink first. But I still get done things fast, just like you're uber fast. Like, I thought that I was crazy about the things that I need to get done quickly. I'm not. You are.
No, we're both fast in comparison to most people. I have no patience. That's really what this comes down to.
I have a little bit more patience.
I don't think that I'm more fast than you. Bit. I just think that I've literally got no patience. But I feel like we work through these things well. I mean, I think it helps, right, that we were also friends before we did this.
Yeah, this is going to be stereotypical, but I just feel like sometimes we turn into such girls, in quotes, like a stereotypical girl where we're like, we could tell when we're about to have like an emotional conversation. So, I totally hear you. I understand where you were coming from. This was my perspective, which is funny because we usually never talk to each other like that. Mm-hmm. Like you call me like, sup, bitch, like what's the tea? Versus like when we know we have to talk, we're going to be like, I think the other day, what did you say? So let's just get into it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit. All right. We're about to talk about something right now.
And that was like in my mind, that was a very like bro-y way to handle it because normally I'm like, so let's just like check in and touch base about this thing.
I could tell.
And I was like, you were worried. So I was like, I just got to say this shit right now real fast.
Which was totally chill with me. And then afterward, how many times you were like, so sorry about the way that I approached it. I was so to the point. And I was like, I didn't even notice. Like I was like, cool, we're done. Yeah. So this is, we're both bro-y and such girls, like sensitive and emotional. Yeah,
yeah. That's how we're friends.
It works. It just fucking works for us.
Yep.
So anyway.
Only members of Cacti Farm.
Yes. Shout out to Cacti Farms.
Just us two.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have some special Patreon content, people. So again, sign up if you want just more personal tidbits and anecdotes and more of our personalities, essentially. If you don't want that, then I'm surprised you're even here. But anyways, goodbye for now. Okay, that was another found around for our patrons. Go check it out if you're not signed up, please. Otherwise, please go tell everybody that you know about us, please. I mean, we're having a great time. Why shouldn't more people have a great time with us? Mm-hmm. We're just doing this for the peoples.
Agreed.
And our patrons, so go sign up for that. Anyway, thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, join us on our Patreon for more judgy shits and giggles. Until next time.
Bye.